speak up as best I can. Okay, welcome all. This is the first time I've chaired the Planning Commission meeting, so please bear with me. Thank you very much. Tonight we are at Thursday, March 14th, 2019. I'd like to welcome one and all here tonight. Thank you very much. Okay, so first case we'll do is the call to order, roll call. So I will begin. I am the Vice Chair, Mary Miller, Commissioner Miller.
Supervisor, Commissioner Ryan.
Commissioner McFarland.
Commissioner Greenberg.
Commissioner Builders.
And the two commissioners, Scott Heller and Gary, were excused tonight.
Okay, thank you very much. And Lynn from the city is tonight here with us, Lynn Hyde. So we welcome you too as well, Lynn. Okay, so approval of the agenda. So that's our next step. So
moved.
Second.
Okay, so moved by Commissioner McFarland and seconded by Scott. Thank you very much. Okay, we moving on. Approval of minutes for February 28th, 2019 Planning Commission meeting.
Moved. Second.
Okay, thank you. So moved by Commissioner Ryan and seconded by Mr. McFarland. Commissioner McFarland. Okay, let's see. Public comment. Pardon me?
Point of order.
Sure.
We need to vote on motions.
Yes. Thank you.
Both motions.
Let's backtrack a smidgen. Thank you very much for bearing with me. And let's go back and do that vote for the first
agenda.
First of agenda.
You would ask all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Any opposed?
Any opposed?
Just in case.
You're tough tonight, Mary.
Okay, so we have, that's totally approved by everybody in the room tonight. All commissioners in favor. Okay, next one is we're going to have
the minutes.
And we're going to have approval of those minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone who says nay, seeing no nays, we are all totally approved for that. Okay, so moving on, we are now open to public hearing and or public comments, on non-agenda items.
And just a point of clarification, there'll be another opportunity to speak on the public hearing items, so this would be if you have something to say on non-agenda items.
Anybody? I hope everyone has a great evening.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Pie night.
Okay, seeing no public comments tonight, we'll be moving on. Thank you very much. And now we begin public hearing amendments to NBMC 1822 temporary use regulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'll give an overview of this first. This has come before you, the temporary use permits, amendments to the temporary use. It's for a few different reasons. It's been on our radar to bring it forward because it's hard for vacant properties oftentimes to find users when they're not ready to do full improvements for users. For example, we've had people interested in hosting weddings throughout the summer. We've had food trucks come forth before, and our previous regulations were more cumbersome for seasonal uses. They were 45 days was the limit, and when you came in to apply for the temporary use permit, you'd list every day throughout the year that you wanted to do that. This was cumbersome for staff and as well as not very friendly for businesses. So what we're trying to do is make it more flexibility for a property owner or for a business to have an entry-level way to come into the city and provide economic development for both a business and for a property owner. And then in addition, while this was happening, there has been some requests for food trucks. I'll say, just to give you some background, I've been here for 5 years almost, and in my time there's been probably 5 to 10 requests for food trucks, so it's not a huge need, but we are seeing it more and more so we've had some food trucks that have come in and requested to be able to locate. For example, the one that I have done was at Napa property. We had a food truck located at Napa property, limited to 45 days. They complied with that. They did 45 days. There's no opportunity to extend, so then they moved on. And then other requests that we've had is business owners downtown, for example. I've had Compass ask me this. I've had a few others who want to have an event and want to be able to bring a food truck to that event. Right now, when they ask that, it's pretty difficult to regulate, and it's a temporary use permit is a rather cumbersome process, and it restricts them. So what we're trying to do, and the reason we're doing it through a rather wordy ordinance, is we're trying to make it easier for, as I mentioned, these opportunities for economic commerce in North Bend, both property owners and businesses. But we also want to recognize that in town, and this is the opposite side of what I've heard, so I'll let you know, in town, brick-and-mortar stores have invested into our infrastructure. They've done their frontage improvements. They pay their taxes. As you saw in here, there was some wordy language as a nod to our brick-and-mortar businesses and the capital that they have invested into the city. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to find the balance here. One thing I have heard, and I'm happy to elaborate if I'm not being clear on any of this. One thing I have heard asked is why we said food trucks wouldn't be allowed in residential zones. The reason being we typically try to separate commercial users from residential zones as they're not seen as compatible. And the goal was to provide some protection for property owners to avoid having, whether it's noise or heavy traffic coming by their residential house on their residential street. I've heard some people ask why we did that, and I'm, as with any of these, really curious to hear your feedback on it, and we're open to different suggestions on all of it, and really looking to get feedback from our planning commission and council as to what you think is right for North Bend. What's the balance for North Bend? On bookends, some cities have said we don't want to see these temporary uses at all because they shouldn't be allowed at all, and they can prohibit them. On other ends that we've reached out to, they just blanket allow them and don't regulate them at all. We're trying to find a balance here. So really excited to hear your guys' conversation on this and what you think.
Okay. So this is quite different than having an event and then having...
Thank you. Yep, so special events permit is what covers events. So the block party, festival at Mount Si, Suds and Si, all the holidays, those are all covered under special events. And food trucks or any other use that would be listed here, arts, there's a listed number of those, are covered under that permit. So this would be someone that's looking at like a seasonal use. Say somebody wants to come sell... we have the cherries that get sold often along 202. If they wanted to come into North Bend and sell cherries or the flower near Fall City, those sorts of uses, they could set up under this. That's part of the reason we extended from 45 days is we see those as seasonal users who, if they want to set up here, could be really nice, could provide some vibrancy to our town, but they might want a longer season than just 45 days.
I guess one of my thoughts is specifically dealing with...
Point of order.
Pardon me.
Before we go into questions and deliberation, we would typically do the hearing to hear from the public.
Yes.
And then we could go into our questions and such.
Right.
That will work for you.
That will work right. Totally. Are you having fun yet?
Hey, it's learning for all of us.
I'm awesome. A neophyte, it appears. Okay.
You're doing great.
Let's go. So let's hear from our public here.
And if you do speak, if you could state your name and address for the record, since we have an audio record here, that's appreciated.
I'd like to speak. My name is Lucas Haynes. My address is, do you want my residential or my business?
Your residential address.
30512 Northeast 183rd Street, Duval, Washington. I'm the owner and soon-to-be operator of Volition Brewing, coming into the 112 building. While I understand the stance of food truck for brick and mortar, I think that the other perspective I would like to provide is that if a business that is part of brick and mortar and investing in the community would like to have a food truck for a regular scheduled time, that would help bring more people down to the downtown historic corridor. And the more people we can get to the downtown historic corridor, the more they are apt to spend in other locations or return here if we can ensure that they have a great time here. So, while I understand that, allowing food trucks just park in an empty lot that aren't investing in the community, I totally get that. But on the other side of that, where we are heavily investing in community, we would like to leverage this new temporary use permit as it's written.
Thank you very much, Lucas.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
I'll throw my two cents in. Craig Glazier, 12414 412th Avenue, South 8th. of time in Bend and Portland and Seattle and seeing what food trucks and what they do in some of those locations. Bend is kind of a real cool resort town, and they've done a really good job of having food trucks serve as an amenity, at the same time not overpowering or really distracting from the bricks and mortar. And I think in Volition's case, it's really a fundamental part of the business plan to be able to have a brewery that focuses on serving fantastic craft beers, very similar to like No Boat on the Ridge, where you go in, you're there for the beer and the ambiance and to meet with your friends. And if you want to grab a bite, the people, the patrons who are there, don't have to just choose the food truck. They can call Frankie's Pizza. They can order from the Duck, the Bar and Grill, any other bricks and mortar place that is willing to, you know, cook food, and whether they deliver it or they run across the street and get it, that's the intent of the business plan for Volition. So the food truck on site or three steps out the door is really just another choice and variety. And I think with, you know, Seattle Food Truck is a big conglomerate that allows multiple choices. You can have, you know, tacos, you can have, I mean, you're more yeah. foodie than I am. I get yeah. done with the tacos.
It's like, as far as you made it.
Yeah. But just having that variety and stuff, I think people would draw people downtown. And the brewery is really going to bring lots of people downtown. And I think, you know, I talked to the guys at the Iron Duck, and they're just excited, going, this is going to bring people downtown who will meet some friends there, then they'll come over to the Duck and eat, or if that's busy, they'll go to the Bar and Grill, or they might go, I want Dairy Freeze, they'll hike down to the Dairy Freeze. It's just about getting people downtown. So I'm in full support of it for a whole host of reasons, that being one.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks.
Anybody else tonight?
No.
Okay, so I think at this point we're open for discussion.
Formal closing.
Oh, pardon me, closing. I'd like to close our conversation tonight about our public hearing.
The public hearing, that's perfect, that's close. Yeah, and I would like to add one thing that I didn't mention. So I was saying that we've heard from some brick and mortar establishments that concern. So what we did write into this code, and I've reached out to restaurants. I haven't talked to every restaurant owner by any means, but I have talked to a few about this. And what we did was said in our downtown core, they would be hosted by a brick and mortar, and that's recognizing that there is a brick and mortar that is has paid the investments. And the one, I won't say his name, but you'll guess, a council member who was concerned about that that does have a restaurant, said that made him feel more comfortable as a business owner. So that we felt was a starting point for this conversation is what that was. So, yeah. Questions? Yeah.
Any questions?
Well, my first question leads right off of that is I was rather surprised that we didn't get any formal written feedback or that we didn't have more from the public, which would say, particularly if you reached out, that we did make our businesses aware. Know that it was mentioned at several business outreach meetings, and so that makes me feel good that we did make a good effort at making sure this potential change was known, and so inviting feedback. So the fact that we've not really received negative feedback, written form or others here, gives me more comfort with the conversation.
And the conversations I had with business owners did recognize that the more destinations in North Bend and downtown do create more pedestrians and more opportunities for every business downtown. So hopefully we see that to be true.
So I had a question on the time period. So currently it's 45, right. Proposed is 60, maybe 120 with an extension.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on the 60 days for a second. So is that, so if I'm a, let's talk about food trucks too.
Yep.
I have a food truck, I want to be at a particular business, and I'm limited to my 60 days or 120 with extension. when my time is done, whatever that time period is, can a different food truck come in and make an application to do the same thing? Or is it limited to one time period per property per year? That may be in there, just something that hit me today.
Excellent. So what we had said was food trucks that were on private property are not limited to that 60 days. Okay. So it would be the property owner that would apply for that permit. The food trucks that are coming in and located on public property would be limited to it. So it would be tied with that food truck.
So the food trucks on the public.
That's a point of clarification. Yep. So I think there's the food truck is one section within this broader temporary use, and I think you're referencing really the duration of any temporary use.
Both, because I know there's slightly different regulations for food trucks. So what I'm hearing you say is, again, just looking at food trucks, food truck on public property, whether it's the street or a park or whatever, there can be multiple food trucks there, one after another, for 365 days, as long as they each have their own permit. So what about it, which I'm fine with, what about temporary use, so not a food truck, the flower vendor or a produce vendor that's on private property? Is it, again, limited to I guess the generic question is it one temporary use permit per property or per applicant?
That's a good thing that needs to be clarified. How we've treated it in the past has been per applicant. However, we do, one of the concerns about temporary uses is that somebody will use it to skirt our development regulations. And I'm sure you're aware of that. So, for example, we oftentimes have construction companies that come and want to use property for a staging area. And they can come in and they could theoretically start their operations there, bring in a mobile trailer, have all their trucks, and a lot of things that our requirements would make them screen it. They'd have to do frontage improvements. So we don't want this to be a way that they can skirt those development regulations. And right now, this is the way that they would be permitted. So we don't want one property to keep being able to roll over. So that's a good point of clarification that needs to be made in here. And I would pose that question to you all. How do you think it would work best for property owners who would be looking at doing, and that's why we made the specific section of food trucks, is what doesn't make sense for some uses, like a construction company to keep rolling over, might make sense for a food truck. And what we're trying to fit a lot of uses under a temporary use permit, and that's where we get some of these nuances that are difficult. Do you have a proposal there, Scott?
I don't know. I could see different ways of doing it for different things. Like you said, like the food truck or the produce vendor is probably okay to just have rolling ones.
Mm-hmm.
Construction company, they might need, I guess if they had 120 days, that's like 4 months.
Clarification, I thought my reading basically construction was excluded because it's understood that construction trailer or something on a project site is a different thing.
We actually have, right now, and one of the things that during our discussion I was going to bring up is what do we want to do with that use. We have, for example, right now over on Tanner Road, there's a WashDOT project on I-90, and they brought their equipment, unbeknownst to the city. Although, to be honest, we wouldn't know what to say because this is open right now, and this is what we're trying to help give staff some guidance with. They brought their staging stuff there, and we started to get nuisances that there was large trucks moving in and out. They were also operating outside of our noise ordinance, so they were operating through the night. But what this would do is give that property owner some way to generate some revenue on his property and as an interim use while he's working on selling it. That's one good side. The bad side is we have trucks moving in and out and people complaining. So Granted, he was outside of our noise ordinance time, so that should be enforced either way.
So I guess as a proposal, I would just throw out that it be the temporary use permit be per applicant, not per property. Mm-hmm. So in other words, a property can have consecutive, that might be the way to handle it, talk about the consecutive temporary use permits by different applicants are allowed on a particular piece of property. That makes sense.
So would you be comfortable with the construction, with the staging of multiple projects rolling over on a property? I know, would that be something you'd be comfortable with then?
Well, if we have enough other controls, and like you said, if they're violating the noise ordinance, they're violating the noise
ordinance. Yeah, they were violating other ordinances, so yeah. That...
Right, or drainage ordinances.
I'd like to parse those two apart. Mm-hmm. Think about food trucks and other retail-oriented businesses, mm-hmm. as separate from construction, something else. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's the one I'm not sure quite understand the issue with on your citing as an example, but certainly if they're not complying within our already established construction hours, construction noise, dust, anything else, that's we've got levers for that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure.
They're using it for staging, they're not doing construction, they're staging there.
Well, then that's not really related to a construction project. You know, I'm talking about whether it's a building under construction, mm-hmm. like City Hall.
Yeah, no, that one doesn't fall.
That's
separate.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking.
Sorry, I misspoke then. No, they're using it as a staging. They're renting it from the property owner to stage the washout equipment there.
Okay. And that's a very different thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call on there. I guess playing off of what Scott kind of brought up, applicant versus owner, or how did you say this?
Versus property.
Versus the property. So I guess I do look at it differently. So I was predominantly thinking in regards specifically to food trucks. The permit, if I understand the intent here, the permit is to be tied to brick and mortar, sponsor, what have
you. In our downtown commercial zone.
In the down DC. Regardless of who the actual applicant is, the food truck vendor or the business, they're tied.
Correct.
Right?
We call it a sponsor.
A sponsor, right. And so what I was envisioning, whatever it's 45, 60, 120 day, whatever that duration would be, I was guessing more likely for a food truck. It's not very consecutive, but maybe these guys are looking at it that way. In other words, I'm guessing that it's more like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3-4 days a week, 120
Correct.
Days total, likely to mean you've got 20 weeks worth of time. And so that's the way I was kind of been thinking of it in my head. But then based on what Scott's saying, then I'm thinking, oh, well, that could become relatively permanent fixture in front of a business year-round if you had multiple food truck applicants. Mm-hmm. That made me feel a little differently about it.
How does public comment work? Can I offer more insight, or do I stay quiet?
When requested.
Okay, all
right. I think we can do that right now, actually, if you'd like to speak. We have a few minutes, so you can do that.
Yes.
We've got time.
Is that okay?
Yes, your chair said it's fine.
It is fine.
So the food trucks industry has, call it conglomerates. Seattle Food Truck is actually a conglomerate in which they've, you know, the industry started, it was a whole bunch of independent food trucks. And so you had, you know, a mom and pop that started up a taco one and one that was maybe, you know, Thai food and pizza and that kind of stuff. And so Seattle Food Truck has kind of gone out and said, hey, join our quasi-union, be a part of us, we'll do all the scheduling, almost like a dispatcher. So I manage office buildings in Bellevue, and we schedule food trucks. And rather than call independents that may or may not show up, we call Seattle Food Truck or organize with Seattle Food Truck, and they say, okay, we're going to send you out a truck. You want them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from noon to 2 in the office parks, typically is when they were 11 to 1:30. So that works sometimes. However, even the conglomerates are only as good as the workers. So you have trucks that sometimes show up and sometimes don't. Then you have independents that are still not part of Seattle Food Truck that you can, that have an independent following. So you'll have food trucks that are, the food is so good and so sought after, you can go online and find out where that food truck is and if it's going to be in Redmond. You got people driving to Redmond to get that food. So as food trucks figure out where, and the food trucks are drawn by where are going to sell the most food. So as, you know, you guys kind of talk about how long a truck can be there or not, the trucks in Seattle, the conglomerates are also looking for rotations because food boredom is a challenge that everybody has, and that's one of the upsides of food trucks is they've got hundreds of food trucks, and they, you know, might send one food truck out to Lincoln Executive Center, and you might not see that truck again for a month, and you get 26 other or 20 other choices in the interim. So when you're dealing with is it the applicant or the property owner? Is it the food truck operator or is it the property owner? It's a little bit goofier. Then does each independent truck, if you get independents, have to do the application? Or is it Seattle Food Truck that has to do it? Or is it the property owner that's sponsoring it in the downtown core? Might be easier because they're going to be the most reliable source. Because if you try and get a food truck operator to do a permit before he shows up, he's going to be too much work, not going to do it. You might get Seattle Food Truck to do it, but at least I know, like in Bellevue, where we have food trucks show up to service the 1,000 people in the office park, they show up, and, I mean, Seattle Food Truck provides a certificate of insurance, and that's it. It just goes. So we do need to make it, in my opinion, probably more on the host or the sponsor to be the one who is handling the paperwork in order for your guidelines to be followed and met with and have someone who has a vested interest to keep that food truck meeting the requirements of being responsible. Yep.
Mr. Bellizer.
I want to suggest, because I don't think we're, the point that I brought up about, you know, is it per applicant or per property, maybe throw that back to staff and have you think about it and come back to us with some recommendation on it. Because I don't know what the right answer is. I'm just pointing out it's more of an administrative thing, but we have to get it right in the code or there's going to be a loophole that might be unintended.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because I had the same, I'm not quite sure. So the public comment there is helping me to think, and so that's one of the things I would want staff to consider is that comment is really who we want to be the holder of the permit, the sponsor in business, and put the responsibility for ensuring that they have whatever that truck might be in it.
I'm noodling it already. Where it's not in the downtown commercials, we do say they can be on public right-of-ways without a sponsoring business. So in that instance, it would make sense that it is the applicant that does it. We also wanted to make sure that every time they came in, they applied so we could keep track of their days, although I can't imagine someone trying to sneak around the 120 by doing a bunch of individual. But, we'll think on who should be applying for it. Thank you. Bring that up.
Lynn, I had a question on specific parking because what we don't want to envision is having them right in front on North Benway blocking potential parking for individuals behind a who are tenant owner enjoy themselves. So can you speak into that at all as far as some intent that you may know from?
Yeah, so we thought about that as well, and we know we hear parking often is there is there's the perception of a lack of parking, and we hear businesses frustrated with that. That's why we wanted, if they were to use a parking spot, they had to be adjacent to the sponsoring business. So that was the business that lost their prime parking spot. So you didn't park in front of your neighboring business and keep yours. They do still need to comply with the, I know we put something in here for this. So all food trucks located on public parking must be compliant with vehicle parking time limits set forth in 10.06.040, which is 24 hours. We also did that because we didn't want a food truck to come and kind of set up shop a little bit and start to look like they're camped out there. So we do want to make sure that even if that food truck is going to be staying on a public road somewhere, they're rotating. And, you know, I don't want, like, the flower pots and the welcome mat going down and starting to look like they live, you know, that's their permanent residence. I'm going to pull the code up so I can make sure that I'm quoting that right for you.
Actually,
not looking at Facebook here.
I actually printed it out.
And am I right? It was 24 hours?
Well, yes and no. So the first paragraph of that section is no person shall park or store any vehicle within any off-street public parking facility or any other off-street public property within the city in excess of 24 consecutive hours, or as specifically posted, as described under Section B of this section. But a little further down, which I think because our focus here is on food trucks and on the DC, what really applies in the way that that's written is that Section D says no person shall park or store any vehicle in excess of 2 consecutive hours upon any section of North Bend Way between Sydney Avenue North and Ballarat Avenue North. I suspect that's a problem.
Is it?
It actually surprised me, because it was something that I was talking to some other business mm-hmm. owners and citizens about, this notion that we have of lack of parking down mm-hmm. in our downtown core, and it's one of the things that's going into the way that I'm thinking about food trucks in the DC and, mm-hmm. and the space that they take or not take and et cetera. But in that conversation, we were talking about, well, the idea of a business owner who parks in front of their neighboring business all day long, and that vice versa, right? And so that you've got employees clogging up what should be that visitor space, right? And so jurisdictionally, you often will see parking limits, like a 2-hour limit. I thought maybe we should be looking at that. And then I looked up the code and I thought,
you know, when I parked downtown today to get those cookies, I parked right in front of a 2-hour limit sign I'd never noticed before.
Yeah.
So posted even.
So at any rate, that's a consideration, and that kind of goes into, again, to say it a little further. I'm to be very clear, I'm generally very in favor of expanding this, making it easier, promoting it. I do believe in what was expressed from the public, that it actually is better for all. It pulls more people in. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I am concerned about, you know, duration of time and the number of spaces in you know, certain critical locations. You know, so I was picturing a food truck, which I can't imagine could even fit into one space. And is it really...
Yeah.
You know, if it was taking up 2 or 3 spots due to needing to cone for safety protection and such, that could be a pretty good impact. Mm-hmm. And again, I want the truck there, but I'm not sure what the balance is, particularly when we know we've got a lot of public expressing at least the perceived non-parking availability.
So if it stayed as it was, if the code language stayed as it was, they would have to comply with the 24-hour turnaround, except for on North Bend Way between, what did it say, Sydney and
Ballarat.
And I would throw that back to you guys, and I say that because I don't think there's a right answer, and that's where I'm not coming. I don't have a strong recommendation. This is best practice. It's really up to the community to decide what they want to see. I mean, if you leave it that way, then that would resolve the problem of parking along North Bend Way, being concerned about them taking up parking stalls, but it would also limit the locations that they could go and the businesses that could sponsor it. Just as an example, Compass has come in and tried to have one in front of their shop before, so that if we were to strictly adhere to this, although to be honest, I don't know that many police officers are going around handing out fines if you're violating that Section D, but something to think about.
That would be the question, is are they aware even of that section, and has there been any ask out of the council or administration to enforce? I would guess the answer would be no to both.
It's been talked about, but generally the feeling is that there's not time to go around enforcing parking issues, is what I've heard. But Mr. Ryan, thank you for raising your name tag.
We'll join the party here.
These food trucks will work best around both railroad stations, both here in North Bend and Snoqualmie. That's where people come. I would see a food court also setting up out by the park and ride, just east of the Mexican restaurant, where there's ample room for food trucks to set up, be close to the downtown core, but still offer diversity in food for the general public. The conversation makes me realize that we're trying to jockey trucks around the downtown parking areas, get them out of the downtown street, let them be on the fringe where it's walkable, where you can experience the kind of a food service environment with the food trucks, and walk into the bricks and mortar on your way past that. But having the trucks scattered around town seems to be diffusing the excitement that food trucks bring. So I would try and put them into a group area where you can sample everything, enjoy the food, and then still get around town and enjoy what's going on down there.
Are you kind of picturing a Kirkland situation where there's, you know, the downtown spot that I know during the summers there's, I don't know, 15, 20 trucks in the same location? That's kind of more what you're seeing as a group.
I've not seen that. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if I'm a foodie, I'm going to thrive with the vendors around me, I think, rather than being separate. I'm going to feel isolated being by myself. I want to have competition. I think I've got the best food truck, and I'm going to sell my food the way I can. It becomes kind of a fun environment. I don't know if I'm right about that, but what do you think?
So we're a pretty small community. We're going to be challenged to get some food trucks out here to begin with.
Yeah.
So a lot of times in office parks, we actually have a Intermedia as a web cloud-based company that sponsors a food truck. So if they don't do $600 in sales over the 2 hours, 2.5 hours they're there, that company will write them a check for the difference. Mm-hmm. Given North Bend is growing, and we're, call it 8,000 people now, call it 30,000 in the entire valley, it'll be a learning process. I mean, like No Boat up on the ridge, they have a captive audience with all the, you know, 15,000 or whatever people that live up on that ridge, or 9,000, whatever the number is now, and they got one food truck, and it's not a competition. It's, hey, can we get a food truck out here? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be that challenge that you're talking about could be a problem in 10 years, in my opinion. But I don't see it being a challenge right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're not even talking about, I hope this discussion is broader than food trucks in downtown. I'd like to see vegetable trucks drive through neighborhoods offering fresh vegetables and things of that nature to homeowners who are home, who can use use that as a shopping opportunity.
They are actually permitted right now. They'd have to get a solicitor's license. We have an ice cream truck that goes around, and they get that. So that I'd love to see that too.
I'm old enough to remember open-sided trucks coming by with their scales dangling behind them, and fresh vegetables on three sides of the truck, and that the moms and dads would surround that truck, getting fresh vegetables. I think we're ripe for that kind of that opportunity.
That'd be great.
And I think I didn't see that in the code, but I'm presuming that that kind of a truck would also be part of the code. For neighborhoods, for people, the food trucks are intentional for a high density core environment. They're not going to park out and go for somewhere and expect someone to come by them. But they are going to park where people are coming from. They're going to park. They may live in like on the Snoqualmie Trail, on Rockland Way, right there. 400 people gather for maybe a run. That's where the food truck's going to be, right there. And any other kind of event like that. So we need to think about those locations for food truck opportunities. But I can't think of a better two positions on the train stations.
Mm-hmm.
Those trains unload 100 people in a trip.
Yeah.
And the first thing you hit are food trucks. Okay, they get a sandwich, they get something to go, and they're walking around town all of a sudden. So I see that happening. But I don't see these trucks parked in front of businesses along the streets. I think that's, they may be sponsored by that business, but I don't think that's where you're going to find them. I'm not going to stand in the middle of the street and buy a hot dog.
So I totally, you know, you gave me a whole different image of what that could be, you know, the way you drew it out, but are you okay or are you opposed to the idea, if the food truck chooses to be, however we would permit it, located adjacent to, close to, whether it be the Lewisham Brewery?
Ace Hardware.
Whatever business.
Especially events. Are you
okay with that? You just think it would do better, it would thrive better in a different location?
If I was a vendor, I'd park behind the main drag in that alley.
Right.
I could park my truck sideways. I could take people in and out as they're going into those buildings. I'm very visible. That's what the parking is.
Mm-hmm.
I would not try to park on the main drag. It's too distracting.
Have you ever tried to drive through that alley when the trains are going? It's insane trying to get through there. Anyway, yeah. You had a truck to that.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to drive to is, though, but are you feeling that we need to be restrictive at location, or you're just saying if they choose that location, we need to be okay with that versus if we've allowed it to be on North Bend Way, it could be there?
Are you agreeing? North Bend Way is too narrow. They have had action. That'd be accident prone. I think people walk out in the street not thinking. I just think it's not a good spot. Excited about the idea of food trucks. I think that's a fun thing to think about. I dropped into the Black Duck purely by accident last night. Never knew it was there. That's a fun joint. But I can see where a food truck would add to the back side of that. You go up, it's a dark entry in the nighttime. But put a truck back there with lights, maybe add to the fun.
And that's a good point, is that actually existing restaurants have approached about hosting food trucks. The Bar and Grill wanted to do a barbecue one outside of their restaurant in the past. So this is something that, Iron Duck or the Bar and Grill could utilize as well. And then just a couple things, awesome discussion, but a couple things to mention. One, like I said, in 5 years we've had, I think, just a handful of requests for these, and only one, well, a few of them we're looking at permanent, but a couple have been recently. And to give you an idea of what they are, the new jewelry store in town, Erica, she was having her ribbon cutting opening night, and she was wondering about getting a food truck right in front of there for the evening. So that would be covered under this, and for an evening. Another one, Compass, similar thing, wanted to do an event there, looking for one in front of theirs, and that would have been along North Bend Way for the evening. So just kind of some thoughts as to what the demand is that we're hearing and how it would actually be applicable to our health centers.
Things up.
I agree, yeah.
I'm sorry I'm not raising my hand on this, but it would liven things up to have a food truck here or there. It would be a hoot.
Yeah.
Not in favor of being parked in front of a sponsor. I don't think that's doable on our narrow street of town. But I do think it would be fun in the areas that are more open to that. Mm-hmm. You know, out by the Chevy store in that place. I can see a food truck on the Chevy side with Lisa. Inserted pancakes, that'd be great. She'd be great. Mm-hmm. I think that why not try locations out by the QSC in their parking lot right along the main drag. You know, put a food truck out there, or a group of them. It'd be visible. The post office, that part of the parking lot is rarely used to max to capacity. Put some food trucks in the post office parking lot. Further people come. You know, there's apartments around it, you get the park nearby. It'd be a great place to have a food truck community.
Scott?
Not in favor of them outside in the neighborhoods. I think that's wrong.
Not in the residential neighborhoods.
So we have a lot to go through. What we've done in the past has gone page by page or section by section.
We didn't start.
No, I know. And I didn't mean to cut off discussion, but I'm thinking we're kind of getting into some detail. It might be better to just do that. So, and I know I had a lot of comments. Most of them are fairly minor. I want to make sure that those aren't passed over.
Everyone be okay if we went through and looked at the version that has Scott's proposed?
It's hard to read.
Is it too hard to read?
No, it's fine.
Okay, well, I guess I'd look to you. And then as we're going through it, I would just remind you that the temporary use permit section covers much more than just the food trucks. So if we have specific conversation for the food trucks or things that we, conditions we want to attach, we can put that in that food. But for the temporary use permit, think broader than that. Think of the vegetable truck, the flower truck, but also think those are the ones that I think would be fun to have and add to our community. But then there might be ways that property owners could use this to get around development standards if we were to allow something year after year. So kind of think of the two bookends. It spans a lot.
And just to clarify something you said, if it's a vegetable truck or a milk truck or something driving on our rights of way through the neighborhoods or through the DC zone, that's not covered by this.
Correct.
That is a separate regulation that we're not dealing with tonight.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're all clear.
Yep, sorry. So if it were one that were parked by, say, our visitor information center in that lot.
If it was a pop-up tent selling vegetables, like you
see
at the farmer's market, that would be temporary use.
Okay.
Could I do one more global before we go to the first page? Is just you mentioned at the beginning that some of what you'd heard back was about residential, which I hadn't even thought of because it was off of my plate. But test if you would agree that this is correct. I was thinking, what if an HOA is hosting a neighborhood party at their pocket park? Mm-hmm. Would that be a special event?
Yeah.
Fall into that permit?
That would fall under a special event permit.
That's good.
Honestly, I think that's where staff would go, do we really need to do a permit for this? And try and figure out how they could do it without more bureaucracy.
Yeah.
But special events, thank you.
Should I raise my first question here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is sort of a bigger question. So I know we're at 45 days with no extension right now, and the proposal is for 60 days.
If there's an extension, that's a conditional use permit.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just throwing out there, why don't we just make it 120 days? So rather than, if we're trying to be a little more friendly to business and economic, support economic development, there's uncertainty having somebody apply for a permit for 60 days and then they're not sure until they apply again whether they could be there for up to another 60 days. So just the thought, be less work for staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we could impose other criteria or other standards on all of the temporary uses if we made it all up for 120 days.
I'm a proponent for getting rid of the extension like you're recommending. Yeah. The part that I have a hard time with is I think I'm opposite a lot of you guys. I like the idea of food trucks, but I'm not a big fan of the idea of a permanent installation. You go to 120 days, you're talking about Friday and Saturday, year-round, and then the next calendar year, they can do it all over again. Right? There's no limitation here once the calendar year rolls over. That's not temporary use. Right? If it's a year-round thing for 2 days a week, and then next year they can do it again, year after that again, I feel like that's getting to the idea of circumventing having a kitchen, doing your own restaurant, brick and mortar. So I like the idea of no extension, of not needing an extension, but I feel like that there's the 120 might be a bit much. It makes it more of a permanent thing to me.
I'm going to look something up because I think I may have an idea, but I have to look up and see what the language is from another city.
But to me, you're circumventing things when you go that long to be a weekend food every time. Again, I have no problem with the food truck idea or anything really, even if it is year-round, you know, the vegetable stand type idea. It's just, at what point is it becoming a permanent thing?
Mm-hmm. I guess I would kind of echo that it's that balance, wanting to promote, but at some point, yes, it does start feeling permanent. And so in that regard, so that I was playing with whatever the number of days was, similar to what you're saying, if it's 120 day, 3 days a week, that's 40 weeks out of a 52 week year.
Yeah.
It's virtually year round. If it's the 60, you know, then you're talking 20 weeks. That feels pretty good to me. It seems like that's kind of hitting the keys. Maybe it's something in between. Not sure what the right balance is, but I would agree with you that at some point it does feel like a year-round business, at which how do we feel about what's otherwise, what would be viewed, what staff's bringing up as a concern of wanting to do that. So I don't know what the magic number is either, but I'm a little nervous about the 120.
And the 120, you know, these are numbers to give us starting right. points for conversation, yeah. right, so for exactly this, but the 120 idea was that some uses are more seasonal that we've mentioned and that might want to use, you know, the summer season right. or the winter season. You know, if you were to set up like a Christmas tree lot, well, they wouldn't need 120 days unless it's Christmas year round. But that's a bad example. But maybe a seasonal fruit or vegetable.
Well, you walked so right into it. They're not seasonal. They're eventual. There's an event going on. They show up. No one's to sit in the same spot for 120 days around work. The weather changes too much.
True.
And that kind of leads me into one of the points I want to bring up while we're still talking about kind of the days and how long this can be. A question to you would be the special event permit. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty limiting? Because mm-hmm. to me, we shouldn't be stopping anything for a weekend. You know, I think that we can circumvent some of the issues we may have with this temporary use permit by having an expansion of a special event one, allowing something that happens over a weekend, or allowing more to fall under that special event versus this temporary use. Does that make sense? Like,
mm-hmm.
I know we're not looking at the special event one right now, but
I'm assuming that a special event is applied for whatever the duration of that event. So mm-hmm. it could be a weekend, could be a week. You know, festival of Mount Si is a week long.
Right.
I guess it's a little more limited.
But you
used to be a week long.
Yeah.
But going back to the concern about like something with an HOA doing something at the park for an event on the weekend, that shouldn't, to me, that doesn't fit this idea of a temporary use. That fits more what I would assume is the idea behind a special event permit.
Right.
Right? And so the short term uses to me should be handled under the special events one, not this. So this is one that we're talking like food trucks or something that, not necessarily on a year-round basis, but kind of that middle term between permanent and short-term.
And you're correct that a HOA event would be special events or
right.
festival at Mount Si, 3 days it is. Anything over 50 people that involve, or if it involves public right-of-way, or if it involves alcohol, or there's a few ors, but...
But like you were talking about with the ribbon-cutting one and the Encompass one for the weekend, is that... Why wouldn't those fall into the short, the special event one instead of this?
Yeah, they could really do either, but the special event one has a little bit more to it, and it notifies the police, it notifies fire. It's a way that we can reach out to everyone and takes a certain amount of approval time. Like I said, for smaller ones, we can pretty easily go around and just quickly get signatures from the police on that and fire.
Right.
This intention is with this will come a permit that's over the counter, staff can fill out and hand back. So it's an administrative decision, not a development management team decision.
We're talking about, we haven't talked about using food trucks in the shopping center.
For food trucks on non-events, it's up to a private property owner to come and request. The city has not been in the, you know, that could be something the city could start to do. It's a great point you're bringing up, actually, is try and start to drive some economic development and pedestrian activity by recruiting food trucks in, but that's not something staff has done. So the mall has just never come and asked for one, but it would be a good location. They've got a great hub of people, so.
No place to eat there, right?
Yeah, I mean, so that would be where I would, a food truck could come in and request one to be out there via this permit.
Potentially limiting, the limit of parking would be wider spread there, so you're not as limited, actually.
So that's a good location for one, you're right?
Yeah, keep the shoppers local in the summer shopping.
Yeah. So I know, I think food trucks are an exciting one to talk about and have a lot of pros and cons. Do we have thoughts as to things other than food trucks, how long we're comfortable with them being here?
I was trying to spot it, not specifically spotting it, but within WA for 60, 90, 120, did I read correctly that whatever that might be, part of the application is specifying the days, the actual days, right? So they're going to provide a calendar that says this week, these days, this month, whatever they're applying for, right?
Right.
So it's not, here's your 120 days, you go pick it.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
The thought is if they, because you may not know every day that you're going to be there the beginning of the year, so you'd have to apply for separate ones if you don't know. And then staff will keep count somewhere. Some staff is going to be keeping count of that 120 days.
I've got to go pick up my son.
Bye, Craig.
Craig, you have my son.
I was looking for some language that I thought might help, but it's very similar to what you are. The outcome is very similar to what you already have in terms of a. We're using a calendar year. I wrote regulations several years ago where we use 180 day time frame, calendar time frame, and you could have your temporary use for 60 days somewhere within that 180 days.
Yeah.
We actually have a whole year,
and
you've got 60 days within the whole year. So same idea, just different numbers.
So the outcome of the regulation that you worked on would have been proportionally the same to 120 in a calendar year?
Yeah,
60
exactly.
In a
60 and 60.
Okay.
So the permit was good for 180 days, so for 6 months. So when we granted the permit, it was for 6 months. But the applicant also had to give us the same calendar, and we did actually use Outlook or something like that to keep track of when these uses were going to be there. Didn't often get checked because they were often on weekends. Mm-hmm. And you had 60 days within the 180 day time frame.
And you didn't have to list them, you just had those days.
Well, you had to give the staff your calendar.
Your dates, okay.
Your dates. But there is no extension. You would just reapply for the permit after 180 days.
Right.
So I don't know if it gets us anywhere different than where we end up here with an extension. It's just a different way of, looking at it.
Yeah,
you just took it in shorter blocks.
Right. And instead of calling it an extension, it was a new permit.
Right.
So.
See, there's not more thought or proposal for specific that I suggest. We just let that one sit and mull on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're at 1820.22.010 purpose. Temporary uses. Following provisions authorizing and regulating certain temporary uses are intended to permit temporary uses and structures when consistent with the NBMC and when safe and compatible with adjacent uses in the general vicinity.
I'm not sure you need to read it.
No.
Because we would be here till midnight.
So we did go through through B, I think that's the one that we're kind of tabling for discussion. The fee, I know that, it was one of Scott's comments that he didn't see a fee in the taxes, rates, and fees. That's correct. There's not one. This is going to add one.
Okay. Can I go back up to my second comment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So assuming we have extensions, staff is proposing three criteria that have to be met. You see that, A, B, and C. And I always have a problem with the term reasonable alternative. Mm-hmm. I know we use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess David's the one that decides what's reasonable and if it's a reasonable alternative. There's almost always an alternative. So, you know, if somebody wants to have allow a tent with vegetables outside of their business, why can't they have the vegetables inside their business? There's almost always an alternative. So I'm wondering whether this is a good criteria to have.
Are you proposing that it would be struck, or you see a different statement?
I actually would propose that it be removed.
Okay, Commissioner. Scott, Greenberg, we would like to make a position that will be struck.
So. Yeah, I won't make a motion at this point, but yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're down to, looks like C.
Well, do you want any discussion on that?
Do you want any discussion?
Is everybody okay?
I'm sort of agnostic in a sense. I'm wondering what staff's,
I'm fine with that. I mean, I also think there's a chance we might remove the extensions altogether.
Right.
The reason, of course, you know why it's in there. You all know it gives the director the ability to say, this is not a desired use here. It gives them a lot of flexibility. The director's discretion gives a lot of flexibility to say, look at all the great reasons why we want this use here. We'll allow the extension or... this doesn't really fit our council's intent. This doesn't fit what we want to see here. There's, you know, for some, I guess, some variety of reasons, we're going to remove it. So it just leaves it open for director's discretion. But, yeah, Mr. Ryan?
Then, at the risk of boredom, I'm off to bed.
Yeah, you guys did.
It worked. As I read the whole document, and the preamble in the whole document kind of sets it off. My mind that this ordinance is intentional to get everybody in North Bend an opportunity to make a buck off their property. That's what I read in there. I read that whatever they can think of doing, or whatever they can think of needing to do, like living on their property in a mobile home until their house is built, that kind of thing. The whole document, if allowed to pass the way it's written, it seems to me it's going to open up our town to just such a variety of things going on within the neighborhoods as well as the downtown area that we're going to lose our community in some way. I mean, everybody doesn't want to make a buck off their property. is that? But somehow this notion of this whole ordinance is, the genesis is that everybody wants a chance to make a buck off their property. No, I don't want to make a buck off my property. I want people to leave me alone. And I don't want my neighbor to be selling vegetables in front of his house. I don't want that.
But that's not. This doesn't do that.
I think it does, Scott.
It doesn't allow these uses in residential neighborhoods. That's very clear.
I think it does. Because
we can clarify that.
It talks about everybody doing something on their land to help them make something on it. And it drives me crazy to think that we're in an urban community where we're thinking rural. In a rural area, we're thinking, suburban. I want to make sure that the ordinance doesn't allow my neighbors to be selling vegetables on their front porch. If they want to take them down to the store and sell them in front of the store, fine. But I don't want that to happen in my neighborhood. But this seems to be opening the door to anybody who wants to do something with their property, they can do it. Yeah. It talks about people who are building a house, they can set up a mobile home on their property and live there for a year while they're building their house. I don't want that. And so I'm just, this whole document has driven me to where I don't even care about it anymore. I don't care. Because this is so, it is so open to so many different options occurring in every neighborhood in town. Mm-hmm. That's going to change the entire intent of our community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I do hear you. And so as we go through, and I understand what you're saying, maybe we can make sure that we're clear that some uses, and it may not be something that comes out that you love every bit of it, but if we can try and clarify what we don't want to see in residential uses, in residential zones, we can certainly tighten up the language to be more clear there, to not allow. So I'm hearing that you don't want to allow commercial uses in residential zones, so we'll make sure that's clear. And unfortunately, we do have a lot of people who are, have their investment and are trying to find ways to provide some income in the meantime. So.
I agree that a lot of this is about allowing a property owner or business owner opportunity for revenue, but I think it also is reflective of the general economic good, the general community good. Kind of some of the things you spoke to in regard to the food trucks and bringing in more options, and it also brings revenue to the city. So I think it's finding the balance of all of those things that we need to find. But, as you're speaking to the concerns about neighborhood, and we did talk kind of about that up front, the idea of this is intended to be commercial zones, not residential. But when you started to say that, I started looking for, well, wait a minute, we do define the zones. Mm-hmm. But actually, the section I found is in just the food truck section. And so do we need... Or am I missing it, or do we need to clarify more up front?
I've got this feeling, in this document, I get the feeling that in North Bend, we are financially strapped. We're not doing well financially. We have a lot of opportunities that are not materializing. And this looks like a kind of an ordinance that's been just run through the mill and said, let's see if we can't generate money throughout the citizens that live here. And I think it runs the risk of converting neighborhoods into community centers.
Mm-hmm. So if I may,
more urban area.
The determination section is where you're looking at. Determination 18.2030 determinations. There's a couple. B, the temporary use and associated structure will be used in a manner compatible with uses in the general vicinity and on adjacent properties. There's also what is now E, the temporary use shall be consistent with the permitted uses in the zone and all relevant critical area regulations. So I would argue there that that's keeping it out of residential. You're selling something that's not residential, right?
Correct.
So that right there should be your part about your neighbor selling something out, a food stand. To me, there's a saying right there that can't happen.
Well, and I would agree with both those statements. perhaps we could even strengthen it. There are some areas of the code where we are specifically speaking to residential and what would be, thinking of the interim housing. But we could be more explicit about the zones, right? or make a more explicit statement about this is intended as a predominantly commercial.
I'm wondering if just referencing 1810.030 here, table of permitted uses, would hit that, because that's where it would take any commercial use out of the residential zone except for home occupation. And be clear.
Would there be a scenario where you might have one of our churches applying for a temporary use permit that's in a residential zone?
Yeah, you're right. They do. Well, let's see. So that's how we do our temporary shelter, our temporary housing shelter, is through a temporary use permit.
But that's again, that's about housing.
But that's allowed, right?
And if it were, let's say it was the Lutheran Church is in a residential zone, they're going to be doing a special events permit around some event. So that's covered.
So I suppose if they wanted to have, we keep coming back to the food trucks, but food trucks there every weekend. However, I've never been approached about a use. You know, a lot of these comes from users
that
we've heard. I haven't heard of a use of the church other than the housing that they want a temporary use permit for.
And just to give a little perspective to this, the only, I probably don't need to say it, but the only changes that are proposed are the ones in the strikeout and underline, ones in color. This ordinance, if you take all those away, our current ordinance has been in effect for 13 years already. So a lot of the stuff that's already there that we might have concerns about has been in effect for 13 years, and I don't know if it's been a problem.
Right. And it's been set in with very, very few applications.
Right.
Well, and the applications that we do have as well, it's they get turned away because of the 45 days, and that's why we're bringing it here, is to provide more opportunity. So
that's we're finding it's too short a time span.
Can I go to my comment 3?
Sure.
He goes back on page 1.
Yeah.
That one's just mostly just I'm suggesting. We talked about temporary use is not in competition with an existing brick and mortar store, and I want to change the word store to establishment to recognize like a restaurant doesn't call themselves a store. Okay.
That's a good point.
Number 4. This regards item C, and this gets to Lynn's comment before, which is we want to make sure that these temporary uses aren't trying to be a rolling temporary use to avoid making required site and off-site improvements. So I don't have a problem with that. I think that's a good standard. But just my question is, how will the city determine applicants' intent? Because that's really a slippery slope. And I don't have a suggestion for otherwise how to do it.
And that's where I was feeling that, and I'm with you on that, that there's I want there to be latitude to be sure that we give staff an ability to do some evaluation. In general, I like things to be definable. And it relates again to me to that total number of days it's in that ballpark of too much or too long starts feeling like a permanent fixture. And so I guess the more we can define the duration and the locations and the types, the less staff has to rely on trying to figure out is this a permanent.
Is there a reason this section, the A, B, and C, is in the extensions section versus just straight up for the permit in general?
Well, because we added the extension, I think is why it got placed in there. When we were contemplating whether to add the extension or not, we grappled with all these things we're talking about right here, and felt like two steps would make staff, one, have more control over what's happening and make sure that the intent that we're hearing here, the intent that we hear from the council, is able to be met, gives us this criteria similar to an ATS program we have, an administrative adjustment to standards, which allows us to adjust setbacks, height limits, et cetera. But you have to show that you meet certain criteria, and it's trying to just hold a little bit of a sniff test up. And then the second part being the mailing to adjacent property owners.
Okay. Yeah, the problem I have would just be that, to me, that reads that the temporary use permit doesn't, in general, have to follow these criteria, only the extension.
Yeah.
So to me, that should be pulled out as being criteria for the permit itself, not just the extension.
Especially if we're inclined to eliminate the extension and just go with a fixed day.
Yeah, don't eliminate that.
That applies regardless.
Right.
Yeah, I'd support throwing that back to staff and letting you think about that, because we're not going to resolve this tonight.
So I know we've been toying around with the idea of removing the extension and just having a hard, fast set of days, which I think is a great thing to consider and does, you're right, make it easier for staff. And then I know I've heard removing the reasonable alternative. So I'm looking at B and C. We would consider removing B and C underneath all temporary use permits, not just an extension. So that's a good point, James. I think it's just kind of an order of operations as to how this would fit together.
And on the reasonable alternative, if there's something else that you feel you want to add that will achieve the objective you're trying to look at, I think that's great.
An alternative statement?
good one.
Reasonable.
It has to be reasonable, yeah. And I did have one thought on C. You know, we're talking about these improvements, but it's more than just the extension or just allowing 120 days. I think somebody made the point that you can get these occurring year after year after year after year, and all of a sudden 5 years later, you've got some use. Let's say it's a flower tent where, you know, they're on a vacant piece of property and they probably should have done some street improvements. But the street improvements are responsibility of the property owner, or the on-site improvements. A tenant paying rent isn't necessary, doesn't have the permission to go on and do those improvements. So I'm wondering if there's some way, if we have a rolling temporary use, some way of tying that back to the property owner.
But isn't that handled by the fact that these temporary uses are supposed to be adjacent to the sponsoring?
They may not be in Dick's example.
Yeah.
You know, you might have somebody using the park and ride area or
vacant pieces of property.
Vacant piece of property.
Maybe sponsored by, but not necessarily immediately adjacent to.
I went into this meeting really wanting the food truck part and liking this idea, but everything I've heard kind of turns me against it, because I do have concerns about that idea of something becoming permanent, right? That it's, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the drive to Fall City, but there's the flower truck that's there
every day
on the side of the road there. That's a permanent structure, right?
They may be growing stuff there. I think they're selling the lavender, but which may make it a little bit different, but from a perspective of somebody driving down the road,
it's
a use sitting out there on the highway every day.
Yeah,
so I don't know if there's some way of saying if there's consecutive yearly temporary use permits on a particular property, that the city has the right to require that improvements be made.
Something like that. That would help.
What I like about that as well is it can give an entry and a way to start generating some income, because a lot of these businesses come, they don't have money for the frontage improvements and we're trying to require, so they're not able to come at all. So this would give an entry level as well.
Right.
Do you have a feel for what amount of time you're comfortable with before you...
2 years.
2 or 3 years? My gut kind of went to 3 to 5 and... You mentioned 2, so we could toy around with the idea of 3 years and come back with a proposal.
Kind of a two-term limit idea.
I think as you mull that one over with your compatriots.
this. I know that in some actual proposed permanent commercial developments, a similar notion is in play of giving a break on timing or mm-hmm. cost for, you know, to let a business get up and rolling. So whatever that time period is, this one should be less.
Sure.
Yeah, if we can tie it to something else in some way, that would be good.
Okay.
Should I keep going? I'm almost there.
Okay.
Number five is just a clerical thing. Number six and seven regard fee, and you said that there wasn't a fee on the fee schedule, and that's going to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
If we have extensions, were you going to propose an extension fee? I think there should be.
Yeah, I think it would be based on time, staff time.
Okay. Which is in the fee schedule.
Who's responsible for the mailing? Is that?
Staff is.
Okay.
Oftentimes we'll ask people to bring in the mailing labels, but it's easier for staff just to do the mailing labels and to know they're correct.
Okay. And that's covered by the fee, it's not like it's...
Well, that's covered by staff time.
Okay.
So we'll have someone generate the labels that be there.
When you say staff time, meaning it's charged to the
hourly
rate. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
We prepare to work on to page two?
Yeah. So okay. So good news is we've gone through half of my comments. So at the top of page two, there's a proposed addition to require commercial general liability insurance. My question is simply, the way it's written, it looks like it's required regardless of where the temporary use is, whether it's public property or private property.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why does the city need to require it for private property, and isn't that really the property's owner's responsibility to require it?
Does this change any if we, depending on who turns in the permit, if it's private property or the applicant versus the use being the applicant?
I guess the main thing where I went to with your head is almost regardless who the applicant is, it's really who's liable. Who's
right,
at risk?
Right.
If it's on public property, the public's at risk.
Right.
If it's on private property, theoretically at least,
should be the owner.
It's the private property owner at risk.
I'd like to run this one by our risk pool to see what their thoughts are, because my thought is if it's on a public street or in a park and they have no insurance, we need to know that they have insurance.
Absolutely.
We need to at least try to have required that they do, so that's a good
clarification.
No, I didn't
hear you say clearly in a public setting.
But the private.
But if it's a private, do we really have an interest in the insurance?
Yes, you don't want a derelict building in the area, and that's what you're going to get. We have plenty of them now. You can't move on them because they don't have a right to.
Yeah. So I'll ask our attorney on this one, but clarify
just a question
for public property.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next comment, we already covered that about intent. So we already covered that. So the improvements one. Down below, my last comment on that page. We're trying to see what that's. Oh, there's another. Alternative language. There is no other practical alternative. So
you want to change that to reasonable define. Alternative?
Yeah. How about reasonable or practical? No. I mean, I think there's always.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you define practical? So, in my experience, as a code administrator, not as a business operator, we had similar criteria about practical alternatives, or if something's practical or not. And almost always you get the applicant saying, well, I can't, it's not feasible economically if I do it your way, city. So it's not a practical alternative. Well, that's not what the standard, doesn't talk about economic practicality. So we always got these arguments about what was a practical alternative.
For this one, would you all be comfortable if we actually just strike that language? Because a timber use application is for a type of uses, typically timber. First of all, that's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
But also, I think we're talking about uses that could potentially become permanent.
Yeah.
And a food truck, if we're going to compare it to a restaurant, obviously that mm-hmm. is not typically a temporary,
right.
typical use.
Page three. Can I see her?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see where the line is.
You know, I also, before
we
move on to
page three,
I see there's a discrepancy here. Let's talk about it. So the general conditions. A temporary use conducted in a private parking facility shall not occupy or remove from availability more than 20% of the spaces required for the permanent use. And then for a temporary use located in the downtown commercial area, no more than 2 parking spaces immediately adjacent to a sponsoring permanent business may be occupied. So and my apologies for this, there's been 2 different hands working on this one. So where we talk about sponsoring permanent businesses, we had talked about that under the food trucks, and we had talked about only 1 parking stall being occupied. If we want to... if we want them to only occupy 1 or 2, question.
Mm-hmm.
Also, should all temporary use permits need a sponsoring brick-and-mortar establishment in the downtown commercial zone or just the proposed food trucks?
Mm-hmm.
And
why would it be different would be the question. Is
right.
If our concern in the whole concept of limiting is that they are with natural competition with another business, potentially, the same if it's a trinket shop and you're competing against
right.
the other brick and mortar trinkets, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But with it's going to be 2 parking spaces. The trucks will take 1. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Stay in the second spot.
I agree.
I don't think any of those trucks can fit in a spot. They're longer.
Too big.
But typically.
Yeah, what is the width of an average truck, by the way?
Pretty wide.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends.
Like
I've seen different ones at farmers markets, and a food truck doesn't have to be a truck either. It can be somebody who puts up a cart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a hot dog cart.
Yeah.
Could be considered. So that could be much smaller than the Buns food truck, which looks like a small RV.
Yeah.
Going back to the idea of the sponsor. I think with a food truck, it's easy to find to define that or to require that, right? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But does that make it harder for something like a vegetable stand?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to limit? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So is that going to limit? I guess we could still require it, and they just have to get creative and find a company to sponsor them, right? Or a brick and mortar to sponsor them, I should say. But I feel like outside of the food truck idea, that might limit their ability to come in. By forcing them to have a sponsor.
Well, that goes back to, again, what are we trying to promote? What are we trying to protect?
Right.
So I wonder, one idea might be if the temporary use is located adjacent to a brick and mortar business, then it has to be sponsored by that business.
Yeah.
So Volition, for example, if Volition wants a food truck or a cracker vendor or popcorn vendor or whatever right outside
mm-hmm.
their door, they can sponsor that. But to have that just set up shop, or let's take it out of the downtown, if it's over QFC, in the parking lot of QFC, I would think that one of the businesses in the QFC parking lot or the property owner has to sponsor that temporary use.
Yeah, especially in the idea of a food truck. I feel like that needs
mm-hmm.
to be tied to the sponsor in some way.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that, though, is if you wanted to expand your influence across town,
mm-hmm.
that would limit that ability. You know, if good, I don't know, good example, but if a business in... by the Outlet Mall, wanted to expand to the other side of town over here, near QFC. Do we want to limit that? Do we want to stop that?
If you had a Mexican restaurant that wanted to have that as their base, that maybe is even the majority of their cooking facility, but place a truck on the other
side.
And it's, yeah, are we?
But then if you allow them to take it off site, mm-hmm. then you run into the issue of putting it in front of your competitor, mm-hmm. which we don't want. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Well, don't feel alone in this. I mean, every
space is downtown. Yeah. We don't have any parking lots. All we have are parking spaces on the streets. Mm-hmm. We start giving up these food trucks. That's not going to help anybody.
The part I have a problem with that, I kind of like the idea of a food truck ability, like in front of Chaplin's on North Bend Way there. Facing the sidewalk, mm-hmm. right? They're taking up the parallel parking stall yeah. for a lunchtime. That's mm-hmm. that to me sounds like a good idea. And mm-hmm. but you're right; it does take away at least two stalls in those, and you're forcing the parking out of the downtown area. You're forcing them out to these side roads. But
I'm not opposed to allowing that. My point was. There is a public perception around parking, and so I think we just do, if we do that, we just need to be conscious that could be a negative feedback mm-hmm. loop, and it maybe that it gets tried out, and we find out if that really does become an issue, and then it has to be revisited in the next calendar year, or might have to come back again. But
Coming back to the first issue of the timeline and the extension, lack of extensions, if we do something without it, if we get rid of the extension and require them to just re-permit it after their first permit, that then would give staff the ability to evaluate the first time, see if it worked to what we're really looking to do, and to me there should be an option there to not allow another permit. Right, if it doesn't match what was, you know what I mean? It gives them a chance to,
yeah.
there's instead of an extension and having those requirements that we talked about, to me, that if when they re-permit for the next go-around, mm-hmm. inside that term limit idea.
Yeah. We could, you're right, especially most strongly, most legally on sound feet, if we can show that it violated this
something.
Ordinance. So mm-hmm. what we're working on right now. We could say, no, you violated, the first time. And
that would apply whether it's an extension or the
following
year.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and there is opportunity on the permit to provide conditions.
My gut is anything like this, you've got to let it run a while
mm-hmm.
to find the kinks.
Right.
Yeah.
But does I know this is going to, but does that lead us to the idea of having something like at the discretion of the director to allow these permits? Because that would then give them... Maybe they followed it to the T, but it really caused an issue. We had public outcry about taking up those parking spots. Do we need some language there that says, at the discretion of the director or at the discretion of staff, that permit doesn't get to go happen again?
I think under the determinations it hits that, for example, that parking one, you said the temporary use will not significantly impact public health, safety, or convenience, or create traffic hazards or congestion, or otherwise interrupt or interfere with the normal conduct or uses and activities in the vicinity.
Sure.
It's pretty broad. There's a lot of things that can fall under that. That basically is saying director's discretion.
We hear too many complaints.
With the normal conduct or uses and activities.
That's gone.
Did you just
try and
throw that?
That just...
It's right in the middle, too.
Well, I am.
That's my pin.
A projectile.
That's my Snoqualmie Fire Department fireman pin, in case you were wondering about the bobblehead.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
With that, that's how I pronounce things.
As a parent, you need to be careful about that because you've got a young child that might just love to swallow that. So just be careful with that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Just ruin it.
Just keep it at work. Keep it on your desk.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Are we still on page three? Yeah.
So the question I would ask is, a temporary use downtown, how many parking stalls? I've heard that it sounds like you think if it's going to be down there, it needs two stalls.
Yeah, I think it says two or three someplace in here.
Well, I think I said one in the food truck.
Yeah, it says two.
In the food section.
Oh, no. My comment said two or three.
Your
comment
said two
or three.
I think it said two or three in here. And then For all other, for uses, not talking about food trucks, for any temporary use permit, in our downtown core, do you think they need a sponsoring brick and mortar? And I heard through that discussion there, you do think they need a sponsoring brick and mortar. Can you clarify?
In the downtown only, right? That's what you're asking?
I still think that might be a limiting somebody's ability to come in.
Yeah, I do too.
I guess I know that this idea of the sponsor kind of came out because most everything behind this, of course, came out of the proposal for wanting food trucks in a better, and now we're looking at it, of course, more globally than just the food truck.
Yeah.
I believe the whole notion of a sponsoring brick and mortar was in response to the concerns about competition for food specifically. And I guess, do we need to ask ourselves, what is the point? What are we trying to get at by requiring a sponsor?
Do we leave that in the food truck section?
If we're requiring it for a food truck, why wouldn't we require it for all? Or if we're not concerned about it for all, why is it something special for a food truck? Is there a distinction enough that says, oh yes, that is a good idea, that there's an extra hurdle if you're a food truck?
I lean towards yes. I think that if you eliminate it, the sponsor requirement for something outside of a food truck, that's making it easier for something else to come in. For a food truck specifically, I think a sponsor applies to keep from having the competition idea and the idea of, not that it would ever happen with North Bend, but a food truck's just coming in, taking business away from the brick and mortars.
But I guess my question philosophically is, so why do you feel it's important to protect a brick and mortar restaurant more than a brick and mortar flower shop, trinket shop?
Right.
Is there a distinction you really think is clear enough to be made that says why this type of business needs more protection than any other?
To me, it's economic. But
these food trucks would not be allowed to have a liquor license, am I right?
Yeah, that I can't imagine they would ever get a liquor license. Do you say they can?
I don't know.
I think it would be pretty hard.
I've never seen one either.
Allowable. No.
That
wouldn't protect the brick and mortar because they would have to have the license.
That is a very good point.
Especially events, you get a special alcohol serving permit. Yeah, I've never seen it myself in a general food truck.
You might want to check with the city attorney on that, because I believe that type of alcohol regulation may be preempted by the state.
The city doesn't go into regulating alcohol. It's quite hard to get permits. It's a good point that the brick and mortars have a one-up because they're able to get that. Special events, they're usually hosted by a nonprofit, and that's how they're able to get them.
I think you're right. I think that you have to require a sponsor across the board if you're going to do it. And then you're just going to require everybody else to be a little more creative finding a place, a sponsor. Because if you can't, you're right. There's not really not that I can think of, a justification where food trucks should be treated differently.
I hate it when I have philosophical
questions. So the guy who puts up the canopy, who fixes the dents in your, or the dings in your windshield. You ever seen those people? $5 will fix your dent. So that person could locate in an approved location, whatever that might be, as long as somebody like Napa Auto Parts, I'm trying to think of a reasonable connection, would be the, quote, sponsor on the application form.
But if with a sponsor, you would have to be within adjacent property of the sponsor, right?
Okay.
That's a question.
Because back to your example of somebody's example, the Mexican restaurant on one side of town that wants to have a food truck on the other.
Yeah.
And also,
it's a slightly different question.
Well, and now you're raising the question of, if it has to be adjacent, are you limiting people who don't have the space adjacent from being able to sponsor anybody?
Gee, and you thought this was going to be
we thought we were going to get nice time.
Lynn came to this.
Did you see how light it was?
No,
but the reason that, yeah, I know it's difficult because we've been circulating these questions too. And the reason we landed on the brick and mortar downtown needing a sponsoring establishment and not outside of town is we feel that there's more likely to be pedestrians walking around downtown. And however, if it's outside of town, it's a destination-driven one. And that distinction to us, as I'm saying it out loud, made us feel that they'd be more likely to draw traffic away. Maybe I was walking to the bar and grill and saw a food truck and stopped there instead. Whereas if it was out at by, you know, I don't know, kind of by the new Dahlgren Park or something, I would be driving specifically there. So it wouldn't be drawing business away from a brick and mortar.
Or a food truck at a gas station out in Trucktown.
Yeah.
I mean, take it way away from the downtown.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that needing a sponsor would be that important out there.
Yeah. In fact, it might bring more business out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I've observed in quite a few other towns is it seems to be more popular is the food truck in the retail parking, that big parking lot, whether it's a QFC or more likely I'll use Target as an example, but I haven't actually seen it there, but you know, that type of a store, the stores that have the big massive parking lots, that's where I start seeing more of the food trucks because the space is there to for people to maneuver, to be able to pull over and order.
The Alamo did a pretzels truck a while back, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Alamo?
Yeah.
Yes, they did for a while.
Yeah, they had a pretzel truck
did
there.
Did you even know that? Yeah, there was.
I was thinking the Alamo, and then I remember.
It had to have been there a pretty long time because I remember seeing it, and I'm not.
You go right out of the frequent area. I don't think that a reasonable use that we're talking about would have a hard time finding a sponsoring brick and mortar, because anything drawing pedestrians there, creating more of a hub there, would be good for them, unless it's something that they think nobody's going to visit and isn't a desirable use. It could be a way to filter out. If one of our downtown businesses, who I know act in very good, earnest interest in North Bend, doesn't think it's worth sponsoring, maybe we don't want it down there anyways. So
we're leaning toward requiring a bowl. Is that what I'm hearing?
Requiring a sponsor for everything.
Sponsor, is that?
That's what I was hearing. To move a restroom?
Restaurant.
A restaurant.
I'm negotiating with you guys to move a restaurant into town. The last thing I want to do is have anything to do with a food truck. I don't want that. I don't need that. I want the city to focus on my business, provide me with as much opportunity as they have the ability to do, and I have this resources to help myself with, but I don't want to even think about the idea of a food truck in my neighborhood.
But I think that that's exactly what Volition is trying to do here. They're trying to, I don't know if they're circumventing, I don't want to say that, but the idea that of using the food trucks as a source of bringing more business to their own business.
Yeah, I don't see it working that way.
Mm. Well, that's just, I mean, that's how it works. Yeah, exactly. I think what I was hearing, what I've heard in other meetings from that particular new business is they're seeing it as an enhancement. It's purposeful to help drive business specifically, of course, to them, but in general they see it as a lifting all boats thing. And so they're the one that's driving this. They're pushing for that versus the reverse. And I can see what you're saying. If I'm building a restaurant specifically to serve food, and also perhaps alcohol, yes, I'm much less inclined to want a food truck out front competing with myself, so to speak, unless it was complimentary in some way. But if I'm just the brewery, and for whatever reason they're not,
you don't want to have a kitchen
serving, you know, not building a kitchen, not serving,
that's
different.
No boat doesn't have a kitchen because they want to use their space for making beer, brewing beer, for storage, for everything. They want to use it for production and serving beer. They don't want to do food. That's not their core business. That's not what they know. That's why they have a food truck come in.
And that apparently is
what Volition is going to do. A lot of breweries do that.
But again, does that come back to the idea of circumventing the permanent installation?
I don't think it does. On theirs in particular, I don't think it does. Because if you go and look at all the tenant improvements they're doing to that building, I mean, they're putting $500,000 into that building that we've been wanting to be fixed up. Right. If they wanted to put a kitchen in, they could. With, you know, they might add $100,000, but not next to the antique mall, next to Prosky.
By the alley.
Yeah. So if they're actually an example of someone that is investing into our community. They're paying all the fees. They're paying, you know, the hookups to our infrastructure costs, all the things that were concerned a timber use permit. They're not. This is a way that they don't have to have a chef. They don't have to manage the food.
Exactly.
They can be rotating. We've had some restaurants downtown anyways where you go, you don't like the food, you don't go back.
Yeah.
So this is a way that doesn't happen. They don't have to manage a chef.
Yeah.
It's just a different business model. So actually for them, they're not getting around our permits. They're playing our game. They're investing pretty big.
Lynn, as this reads, can they park it at one of these items right in the alleyway and use that space?
This doesn't address the alleyway because that's a really unique circumstance.
Okay.
What we've talked about the alleyway was it needs to be addressed through a lease of sorts with the city. This would address if it were on private property or in a parking spot. So if the alley, because the alley is going to be closed off to vehicles, it's suddenly almost more like a park, but one that we want through traffic to be allowed occasionally. So I think we're going to address that through a lease, depending on everything.
Okay.
If they want to use the alley for their seating, even that needs to be addressed through a lease.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one more comment. It's actually a question.
Yeah.
On here, so on page 3, under interim housing facilities, is this, to use the term we've been using, brick and mortar housing, or is this, I hate to bring it up, tents? Or do you know?
This has been used is our the homeless shelter, the winter homeless shelter
the church or the slough.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to know. And then on page 4, I had 3 comments, but I think they've all been answered, except the first one, just the getting the name of the agency right.
The code really said religious institution?
It did, and I wonder if it was written in specifically for a couple churches that came in and were doing it, and there's a lot of fear around these establishments that they're, you know. So my guess is it was written to try and make everyone feel comfortable that it wasn't going to be every other building in town,
but the
Slough Grange has been hosting them, and we've been approving it, but we want to make sure that, because we believe it's the right thing to do.
I think it is too. The old language didn't surprise me. I just viewed it as antiquated.
Yeah,
this is a good update to recognize that's not.
And sometimes, similar to what we're doing with some of these temporary uses, it makes us feel comfortable. It's within our comfort zone to say, okay, we'll allow it and see how it goes under these regulations. Maybe we'll find out it was a terrible idea and we'll come back and change it, or maybe in 5-10 years we'll come back and allow it to be broader. It's kind of a starting point to find everyone's comfort zone.
So on page 4, I've got just a couple.
Yeah.
And all of these start with food trucks. In A, all food trucks must, and believe you me, comply with applicable.
I believe we did mean that.
In B, it says food trucks must maintain a clean facility. My question would be into definition. I suppose we understand what clean means, but what's clean to me is not clean to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, we'd say sanitary.
Well, I'm saying, do we need a better definition? Do we need a better word there?
Yeah.
More is more definitional that I can look at it and I know what you mean,
yeah.
But I have to comply.
No, that's a good
point. Is there something in the nuisance code you might be able to, some language there about keeping properties clean and
orderly?
Or
I'll throw it even above that. I'll say we're already saying you have to comply with King County Department of Health.
Yeah.
That certainly has regulations around cleanliness in it. Are we just being repetitive, or are you actually trying to talk about more of the grounds outside of the truck itself, mm-hmm. than maybe, you know, neat and orderly or something that gets at specifically what you're trying to do there? The second thing is the second sentence there, I think, is actually a separate thought. One's talking about the cleanliness. The other's talking about its repair.
When I circled clean, I believe the intent was that it was in a state of good repair. So there could be a bit of both. So the state of, that we don't have, the concern was that there would be a vehicle there that's kind of falling apart. It looks like is that a food truck or a broke down RV that needs to be towed away?
Well,
so I would say, I would actually change that to state of good repair.
Yeah, I was going to say, you consolidate the sentences then, but I also written at the end of where it says good repair, but written again, define it. tell what does that mean? If you feel there's a common understanding, okay. But to me, I don't know what good repair means.
This might be something that food truck organization that Craig was mentioning,
yeah.
might have some standards that their members have to comply to.
And I suspect the King County Health Code.
Yeah.
As I say, they have to have been inspected, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen necessarily food trucks that are operating and successful and operating in the free market that are not in good repair.
Right.
But the concern was that there could be.
These food trucks have living quarters.
Not the ones that I've seen.
They're too small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitchen takes up a lot of space.
C, food trucks may be allowed in any non-residential. Do you really mean permitted? Food trucks may be
permitted
in any non-residential. And then related to that, I'm wondering, should we just name the zones?
I don't like naming the zones because when I come back, oftentimes we have new ones or have removed zones, so I prefer the land use designation.
Back to definitions, under D, we're saying quiet generators. We have a code for decibels. I don't know if you're trying to get something different than that. Again, I think we need to define it because I don't know what quiet means.
Yeah, I think, well,
is that the code?
So that is the noise ordinance. Do we want to just make sure they comply with the noise ordinance?
Take out the word quiet, words quiet generators.
There's the whisper generators that we require at our block party, because when you're walking by, mm-hmm. something that's okay on one property adjacent to you is actually kind of loud when you're walking by it.
Well, is there
a whisper. It's. I think it
gets you to what you're describing.
Can I do a little generator research here? Because I think it's a whisper.
You'll find it. I think Rob was on the commission about 4 years ago.
Let me take a look at our noise ordinance and compare it with what a whisper generator does.
Yeah.
I appreciate you looking over this detail, Rob.
H, I think, goes to where we already kind of talked very early on about who is mm-hmm. it, who is the responsible party that we're after, and I got the sense that we're feeling that we want to keep the onus on the sponsoring business, and that seemed to be what the public was asking for as well.
Do we need to revisit G?
I think we need to revisit maybe a few of these here based on what I've heard. And we should revisit G. The sponsoring, though, is only necessary if it's in the downtown commercial zone. So as far as who applies for the permit, that would depend on what zone they're in, because outside of the downtown commercial zone as we have it, they aren't required to have a sponsoring establishment. So then I would say it's the onus is on the food truck. Or, yeah, we're in food trucks. Okay, so. And that, so that needs to be clarified, and I want to make sure I clarify it with what we hear today. So I'm going to have a note to clarify this one from staff, and we can do that based on how this discussion goes tonight, and I'll bring up those back.
Do property owners have to sign applications for other things in the city? Like somebody wants to build a house?
Any land use action, we need the property owner. So if
I would think the same thing would apply here. Because we're giving a permit for somebody to do something on someone's private property.
It does apply.
It's okay.
Yeah, so we did that when the food truck that we had at Napa for 45 days, we needed Napa signature as well. But who is the applicant then determines how long you can have that use there. Because if it's the property owner that has to be the applicant, then you can, no matter what food truck it is, a different one every day, you're limited to that on that property. But if it's the food truck, then you can
which
have...
Which I think goes back to some of the
original
conversation
question.
Of not being around the clock every day. Right. That's why we want it to be the establishment.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Do food trucks, when they're in a location for a period of time, do they often end up being on blocks, just the weight off the tires, or do they have to be mobile all the time?
I guess since they're limited to a 24-hour period.
But not if they're on property, on private property.
Property.
Then they could
right.
be up on blocks. Good question.
Point of order.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to move that the meeting be extended to no later than 9:15.
Second.
Okay.
Good. All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay. I want to go to 9:30.
Oh, contrary.
Go right ahead there.
Question down under allow temporary uses at the bottom of page 4. Another one of my classics. Under the fireworks stands, there's certain specific only one sign. Signs must be attached. Blah, blah. Question is, why fireworks stands and not all? What's unique about a fireworks stand that these specific requirements apply and don't to others?
I
realize
I think
that's language that was in there, but if there's something that is obvious that I'm missing, please help me understand that.
I'm wondering whether it has to do with any sort of fire code requirement. At least the signage must be attached to the fireworks stand. But I'm not sure.
What you suggest to us that
fireworks stand, in terms of the advertising, the external advertising, they go over the top. But
right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if that's where this kind of language came from.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably where this
one. Well, I would suggest that my observation in fireworks stands here in towns over years past, this is regularly violated.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Beyond that, I'm not saying it's maybe wrong language, but I'm saying if it's regulating something important to us, it probably applies to more than just fireworks stands.
But if it's not Christmas trees.
Then it doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, along the same, I think, reiterate, I think it's just a matter of, why require it for one thing and not the others?
Yeah.
Do you want to move that to all temporary uses then?
Well, I would like staff to think about are these things important? And
I may suggest my own bias on that. I think it's a way to for the city to respond to neighbors who are saying we didn't want these stamp stands.
Mm-hmm.
They're too gaudish, you know, so they say, okay, they can be there, but they can't be that noticeable.
But if they're breaking the rules anyway and not being enforced.
Yeah. Well, at least they have a code they can enforce if they want it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Really sorry to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Food truck one, does that get double spaced once it's finalized?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Next comment I have is at the bottom of page 5.
I'll do it, though, for the next one, because I see that's hard to beat.
Very hard.
Thanks. Sorry, Rob, go on.
Well, just, if no one has anything else before the bottom of page 5, just the same, similar comment I made a minute ago under J there, we list out these various festivals.
Yeah.
I don't know what that we really need.
No,
to list.
I don't
we
think so either.
We just go with the definition.
Yeah.
Because those are definitely things that change. Right?
Yeah.
Page 6, then. One closer. Anything there? Any comments there?
I've got a quick one for G going back, sorry.
Yeah, no, I think we definitely need a little more clarification. Go on, James.
Is twice a year ever enforced for G?
No garage sales.
Yeah.
Oh, I was no garage sales.
I mean, is that necessary? I guess.
I think it gives the city code enforcement person the ability to.
Mm-hmm.
Most codes have that kind of a limitation, just so it doesn't become the every week garage sale.
Which would becomes the inadvertent retail business
in a
residential zone.
Right.
That's a good point.
HOAs tend to regulate those pretty strictly, but
if you have
an HOA, which we're still over 50% outside.
It's a good factoid.
Yeah, not these factoids.
That was good. That was handy.
Can't challenge with this number of stuff.
Right.
You're just lucky I don't have Google on this yet. I'll
yeah, right. Siri.
Yeah, right.
Google.
I know there's, unless there was a consensus and I missed it, I think there's a little more to be discussed about food trucks. Mm-hmm. Are you guys wanting to talk about that at our next meeting, or do you want to spend a few more minutes on it?
I think there's enough changes here that we're going to have another meeting with.
I agree with that. Yeah, we're definitely. I'm definitely planning on another meeting. I will be coming with some more questions.
Yeah, and I think. I think also, not only have we made enough changes because of some of the broader policy questions we're throwing at you for staff to think this through and come back to us with some different language or at least explanation of why you want the language.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any more that I know to react to.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, I'm comfortable there. Okay.
Sorry, you got to come to another plan.
I'm happy to come to another one. Are you kidding? Yeah. I just thought maybe you guys wanted a night off. I've had lots of planning commission nights off.
We're not demanding it come back at the very next possible planning commission.
No. It is Mariners opening night that night. Just it's actually opening afternoon.
Okay.
Late afternoon.
Oh, it's a Thursday. I'm working. I can't. Never mind.
Okay. Well, I do have a couple other things that I'll bring to the next one, too, that I was thinking about as we were sitting here that I'll let you ponder on. One is shipping crate containers. That's another one that I think should be regulated through this, if we choose to regulate it. A lot of people use them for moving, which seems, in my opinion, to be a reasonable use if it's within limited time. But what we have seen is that some of our commercial users, in particular, I'm thinking some on the east side of town, have them set up for permanence.
Storage.
Yeah. Instead of building a shed or storage shed.
Yeah.
So,
Look at Burien's code. This is fairly old, but it might be right on point. It's
19.17.040.
No.
Not that I knew that.
I know. I was looking at Burien's code for the temporary use. This was a painful part of my life.
Scott, I think you need to go to the Mariners game, okay?
I'm next just going to say, but while you're doing that, you should consider, Mercer Island dot.
No, Mercer Island dot
look
cargo container.
Somebody really wrote a great piece of code. I
take a look at it.
I'll bring
17 years old, but it might still be valuable.
Hey, if it stood the test of time, it stood the test of time. I'm all right with that.
So
okay.
Do we have anything good for the order? Or?
Business.
Yeah, business outreach meeting.
Outreach meeting.
Next Thursday?
Next Thursday morning. So Thursday morning,
21st,
yeah. Focus again, of course, is on commercial business owners, property owners, but we've got WSDOT coming to talk to us about exit 18 plans and potential
scale.
They're calling it a way station. Yeah. Here, so.
Interesting.
Should be a very interesting meeting.
Anything else for you guys?
And there's an affordable housing workshop.
There is. There is on Friday.
We don't know one detail, but yes, about the whole 1890 interchange.
The only thing, the one that Marshall's thinking about as an early phase of that get up.
Slip lane. Yeah. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll come with an update. Or you are all welcome, James. Yes.
You have no idea how many times I've tried to get to that meeting, and every single time
you have come.
I want to go, and I keep getting called away. So
I don't think I have anything else for
Scott
you guys.
Scott is a commercial business owner.
It also conflicts with Rotary.
Does it? I think it conflicts with Kiwanis.
Kiwanis and Rotary both meet Thursday morning.
Seems like we could all join forces in here.
I think any organization that meets weekly can afford an occasional
There's also, I'm excited to go to it this weekend, and somebody might know what it's actually called, but Senator Mark Mullett is coming to the North Bend Library with Bill Ramos
and Lisa Callahan.
That's right. It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a 5th District representative's
town hall or something.
Town hall, yeah.
I saw the note on
it. Yeah, so they're going to be at the library Saturday about.
I've got it on my calendar. I'm looking for it. I think it's 2.
Yeah, I'm not sure
the time. 2 or 2:30. I have it as 2:30.
2:30 or 7?
2:30 to like 3:30.
Yeah, it's really short, but.
Well, they probably are doing more than one.
Yeah, well, sure, they're like a road show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all of our reps will be here. Yeah.
Is that a first time that you know of?
Certainly the first time I'm aware of in a long, long time. Yeah.
That's great.
Especially outside of the election cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the best time to catch them.
Don't forget about SIF Suds and SI coming up March 30th. Downtown Foundation and courtesy of the city combined for another fun event. This is the second time, so we're hoping you all come and can spread the word and enjoy.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Everybody ready?
I'll second.
Thank you. Seconded by Mr. Rovers.
What are you supposed to say now?
Good night.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
Yes.
She's just a mind reader, guys. Are you?
Yeah, those are great.
Oh, good. I'm glad.